Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Track by my guest tonight. He is a blues, hip-hop, experimental artist. His name is Muddy Wallace Jr., and he's with us here tonight. Muddy, welcome to the program.
Hey, what's going on? How's everybody doing out there?
Everybody's doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good tonight. We got to start. The name of that track is called E-Class, and you got to tell the audience what that track is all about.
Well, it came from this. My brother actually came up with the idea for the song. He had this affinity for the Mercedes E-Class car, and so it was the idea is sort of you see somebody where you're somewhere, and you can create a whole fantasy scenario in your head without ever going anywhere, doing anything with them. So you're like, not that I don't have an E-Class, but I wish I had one. And then sometimes you see somebody like, hey, you and I could go riding in my E-class that I don't have.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep, yep. I got to say, let's start from the beginning. You
yeah.
know, you call yourself a blues artist, an experimental artist. You're definitely an indie artist, which is a good thing. You mix a little hip-hop
right.
in there. Let's start from
right.
the beginning. Tell the folks where you grew up, you know, what part of the country you're from, and how you got pointed in this direction.
Well, I'm originally from Chicago, Illinois, south side of Chicago, born and raised, and been living, you know, living there. I actually lived for a little while in New York, and then I came back to Chicago again. But the way it all started is growing up in my house. My father, Muddy Wallace Sr., he calls himself Muddy Wallace. And he sang blues around the house. He was never a professional musician, but he sang blues around the house, and he was also a teacher in the Chicago public school system. And one time he sang, you know, sang the Hoochie Coochie Man, a couple other songs at a talent show at his school where they was teaching that. And the students called him Muddy Wallace, so that's kind of where the name came from there. And just has to pay homage to him and like that generation of our ancestors and black people from that time. I just wanted to pay homage to them. But growing up in Chicago and here, I heard blues around the house all the time. All the greats, John Lee Hooker, and of course Muddy Waters and McKinley Morganfield, you know, Little Junior Walker, and just everybody. You just heard my dad would play so many different blues artists around the house and in the car when we were driving. So that kind of started me on the road to the appreciation for blues. And my brother and I would hear that around the house. And so a couple of years ago, he said, you know, somebody from Chicago should bring the blues to the new generation, you know, in a new way, incorporating, you know, things of, you know, sensibilities, musical sensibilities of now, but keeping the foundation of what the blues is, you know, the storytelling, the elements of, you know, reaching for something beyond the circumstances where you're at, or even just feeling the circumstances that you're in and being truthful and being real about what those are as well. So,
yeah, and I think it's really a wonderful thing that here in 2011 that you have decided to embark on a career of blues, because it's definitely not something that you're hearing a lot of for this generation. What has your response been from this generation in terms of
well,
you putting out this kind of music?
Yeah, it's been really interesting, Neil. It's when I first recorded that album and I was playing it for different people and seeing what they thought, I got some really, really positive responses and just some things like, man, I haven't heard anything like this before, or, oh, this reminds me of some things that my parents used to play that I used to love that I don't hear anymore, or those type of things. But it's been very positive, and interestingly enough, more so with people, with fans, than it has been with necessarily industry executives or that type of sort. But which is actually, I mean, people inside the industry, they don't know. I heard DJ Premier from Gangstar. He was talking about people in the industry. They only know that the seventh floor of their building. They only know the buildings that they're in all day. They don't know the people in the streets. They don't interact and know what people are really liking and loving out in the real world, as it were. So, but yeah, the response has been great. Even, you know, of course, the indie soul music movement and independent artists have been, and independent executives and other tastemakers have been loving the project. People have been going crazy at the shows. It just, you know, it's been really, really good, very positive. So I'm very, you know, thankful about that.
Yeah, well, you know, you got a really, really good clean sound. It's definitely authentic blues. What made you decide to do the blues? I know you spoke a little bit about, you know, hearing the blues in your household, but I mean, you're obviously a talented brother.
Right.
You got a great voice.
What made you decide to
you know, do this genre of music as opposed to, you know, just staying with hip hop or R&B or straight up soul?
Well, what happened, there's a couple different reasons why. Of course, like I said, the influence around the house, and I just loved the music so much, the raw edge of the old blues from years ago. And also, sometimes I felt like maybe blues musicians today, in attempts to sound more clean or more commercially viable, have lost a little bit of a grit in the edge. But even more so than that, I was looking at a lot of artists, especially artists that are, how you say, not of color, that were doing a lot of throwback music at the time. Maybe it's like maybe four or five years ago, like when Amy Winehouse's last album and some other artists, Estelle, artists like that, were doing a lot of music remembering the 50s and the 60s. And I was saying, well, you know, this is our music, you know, that they're doing. They do it, you know, they did a good job with it. You know, it sounded good, you know. But we often, as black people, after we do something, we like kind of throw it away. You know, we on to the next thing. Like, you know, Jay-Z got a song called On to the Next One, you know. It's always about the next thing, the next sneakers, the next jeans, the next song, the next style of music. And sometimes we got to remember that to go to the next one, we got to know what came before, you know, that brought us here, and then look ahead. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that was the inspiration for me. I was someone, my brother brought up the idea, and then after that I was on a tour playing keyboards, and I heard this blues band playing Chicago style blues. I think they were playing Sweet Home Chicago, and it reminded me of it again. I was in Philadelphia, and I was like, you know, I really need to do that. I really need to go in and make that happen. So went in the studio. I met up with a couple other musicians, and we just started collaborating and seeing what we could come up with, and this is what we got.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about your band real quick, because you have a wonderful band, and talk about, you know, other than singing, the instruments that you're playing when you go out and perform.
Sure. Well, the band I normally play with, and many of them were collaborators on the album. My guitarist, Rudolph Vinaz Kolas, is actually, he's from the UK. He's been in New York for a while, and incredible guitarist. And he adds a lot more of the international appeal to what we're doing. I wanted to blend some, not only hip hop and blues, but like some other weird, you know, more strange sounds, or maybe electronic type sounds, you know, experimental things. So he really added a lot of that element into it. Also, there's on the album playing the harp, or as most people call it, the harmonica, is Miguel Wiseman. He has often gigged with me. Sometimes Dennis Moriarty, he'll gig with me on the mouth harp too. Another great collaborator I had with the album was Kristen McDonald Reddy. She did a duet with me on the album called What You Gonna Do, that she penned the lyrics, and I helped to play the music and write the music as well. So we have some great drummers. We have different guys that come in. Most recently, a brother by the name of Sean Best has been playing drums for us, and Sean Whitley on the bass. So on the album myself, I play keyboards, I play some guitars. I help to do some of the music programming and just kind of help with the overall just kind of vision for the project. So that's how it came together.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what instrument can you absolutely positively not do without on any of the things that you come up with?
That I could not do without?
That you could not do without, whether it's drums, harmonica, what instrument must you have on all the tracks that you do?
Huh. That's a very, very good question. I think that when it comes to Muddy Wallace Jr., like, I think the core elements of what is, makes the sound, and I don't know, this is a very difficult question to answer, but I think the guitar is really essential to making the blues sound what it is. Like, you can do guitar and voice, and you can achieve the blues. I mean, really, you don't even need the guitar, because, I mean, you know songs like, oh, Black Betty, Bam, Bam, you know, songs like that. It's just voice and, like, hand claps, you know. So really, I guess the voice is the essential instrument. The voice in the body is essential. The guitar definitely adds a little more of the elements, things that people used to hear when we talk in blues. As far as the entire production, like for production values for Muddy Wallace Jr., I really like to have the electronic element incorporated as well with the program sounds with the drums and like synthesizers. That just brings a new color into what people are used to with the blues, with the, you know, slide guitars and harmonicas, but also that little hip hop edge and make you bob your head and be like, oh, what's that little weird sound in the background? You know, there's little colors, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you are definitely a unique brother. There's someone in the chat room saying that, you know, that she agrees with you that, you know, we got to hold on and cherish what makes us unique. And that's one of the things that I appreciate about you, because in this time of music and folks trying to, you know, generate revenue, you know, while at the same time realizing their dream, you know, you stepped out and said, look, this is what I'm going to do, you know.
Right.
The blues
for
me is, you know, it's an emotional music. So you need to talk to the audience a little bit about, you know, how you are as a person, you know, your moods, your emotions. You know, would you consider yourself an outgoing person? Are you a quiet person? You know, what's happening in your head when you sit down to, you know, to write a tune?
Well, there's a lot of things that go on, and I think that so I've been writing music for a long time and collaborating with a lot of different people. So music has become a way of funneling thoughts and emotions. And I actually feel that music can communicate emotions better than words can by themselves. You know, there's things that you can feel in music that goes beyond just a couple of things that you say, you know. So it's powerful beyond, like, the most powerful art form to me, in my opinion. As far as the emotion of it, I mean, the blues being the emotion, the thing that's so raw about the blues, and which was a thing that I felt like that many black art music and art forms throughout the years have had and subsequently had lost, was that idea of just being truthfully honest about what it is you're going through and feeling. And telling that story is really what it is, and it connects us even back to Africa as far as that. Like the griots on the west coast of Africa, their whole thing was telling the stories, you know, stories of the people and expressing their feelings and emotions. So that was what we brought in with the blues man here. But it is an emotional thing. Music has to be emotional, because what it does is it causes motion. You know, if you hear someone turn up music really loud, you're ready for it, you're gonna jump out your seat. You know, if someone is playing some very depressing music, whether you want to or not, it invades who you are. You know, you feel it in your body. Like, I didn't want to be depressed, but you got that depressing music on right now, so it's affecting me, you know, or something that's make, you know, whatever, you know, that type of thing. It's spiritual. It moves you. It's emotional. That's the very essence of it. So when I'm writing, to get back to part of your question, it usually just starts from a feeling, you know, like I feel something, and that feeling becomes a melody. it just kind of comes out of me. Like I start humming something, and you know, I want to. It just starts coming, and I said, "Well, what is it?" So you and I must leave. It becomes words because I hear like different vowels and the melodies and the sounds. So then, that's what that is. It's like I don't know. It's like it's a spiritual process with that too.
Absolutely. Where is your music mostly coming from? Is it coming from the happy emotion or the sad emotion?
I would say that I would say, you know, it's a sort of concept like you gotta laugh to keep from crying.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So there is the sadness is there, but you feel you overcome. See, the thing is about the blues, people have a misconception about the blues, like it's about being sad, it's about being down, and it's not necessarily that. Now, that's part of it, too, just as much as life is part of all of that, as much as it is the good times or whatever. The blues is really about, like, even if you're going through tough times, you find ways to try to bring yourself out of those tough times too. So there's even if it's like a funny story or something like that, I come up with a story that just sounds kind of crazy and funny, but at the end of the day, it's a diversion from the real, maybe some sadness that's there, or the baggage of our culture that's kind of mixed up in between all of these supposed happy times. So, that's a hard question to answer. I would hope to say that I'm generally a happy person. You know, when I'm making music, it's therapeutic for me. So even if it comes out being kind of sad, then it's still has been a happy thing for me to go ahead and express and put out my sadness too.
Absolutely. And sad thoughts or sad ideas really are, in retrospect, happy ideas, because whoever's listening to your music, they're going to, you know, hear that someone else has gone through or is going through what they go through.
Yeah, you know? That's very, so, very true.
Yeah, very, so you're turning that sad emotion into a positive emotion, and you're touching a lot of souls, you know, with your experience, which is very... very, very important. What do you cry easily? You know, and I know I'm on the whole the blues thing, but you know,
right.
do the tears come easy for you? Does the laughter come easy for you? Does the optimism come easy for you? And the reason why I ask you all of those questions is because, you know, with blues, and you kind of touched on it earlier, it's really a storytelling music. You know,
right.
it's really a music where two people can do that same song, and it's a totally different story. You know, so that's why I ask you that.
Yeah, the expression of emotion. See, it's twofold here. You know, because when you're talking about Muddy Wallace Jr. and you know what I represent. I represent the lineage of many people who have had hard times expressing themselves. You know, black men in America have always been kind of taught to not let their feelings be shown. And mostly for practical reasons, just so we could survive.
Yeah.
And, you know, even like the concept of where the blues came from, it's like, okay, blue people with blue eyes were coming, so we called them the blues. Mm. So it's like, well, how can I shield my emotions from these blues that's coming, you know? And, you know, but for me personally, in this place and time in America, I personally have no problem expressing my emotions, being whether it's crying or being whether it's, you know, happy or whatever it is, I'm okay with that. But it's definitely part of the issue that we have as black men in America is being able to show that emotion.
Yeah, yeah. The emotion that's most identified with us is anger, usually.
Right.
And, you know, we are just so more multifaceted than that. We got to talk about relationships because relationships have a lot of love. They have a lot of pain. How do relationships in your past relationships, present relationships, how does that affect your music or has it affected your music?
It definitely has had its effect on my music. I think that, you know, in times past that I've had a lot of, not just in general, again, like, you know, as Muddy Waters Jr., I'm representing like a whole culture of people that came before me and generations that came before. And it's a historical, like, trend in black America that the black man and black woman have issues with each other. This is not a good thing. I'm just saying, it's just what's been done over the time. It goes back, you know, just as much as the not showing emotion is very much intermingled with each other, you know. So I've experienced that as well, you know. My father, we were talking about the blues, is actually part of a skit on the album where he talks about, you know, the blues was about, you know, well, part of it was about how our women treated us, you know, and that just really hit me, you know, like it these guys were been hurt by these women, you know, and they had an opportunity to put it out there with raw emotion, and the same thing the other side for the women too. The women have been hurt by the men, so there's a separation between black men, black and black women, and I definitely experienced that in my past dealing with both black women unable to show their emotions and myself unable to show my emotions in situations and how that's caused more problems and all of that. It definitely comes out in the stories that I tell on the album. Like I have a song called Cashmere. Which is like basically my inner thoughts about the feeling like I can't provide, you know. But like it's hard here, you know, dreaming about cashmere and living in squander, you know. But, you know, I feel like I got to do something to be a man about the situation and make a life better for me and that other person. So yeah, definitely the relationships have shown its way into the music for sure.
Absolutely. You have a track called Drugstore Woman. Talk a little bit about that, because I'd like to play that for the audience.
Sure, sure. Yeah, Drugstore Woman, it got its influence. Rudolph, my guitarist, he played me this little guitar lick, and I was like, oh, that's pretty hot. Let's lay that down. We laid it down, and then I added some stuff to it. And at first, I was like, we could just use that as an instrumental on the album. He said, no, you got to write something to that. You got to sing to that. So I said, all right. And John Lee Hooker has a song called Drugstore Woman, actually, that I heard years ago. And he basically was talking about how you have a woman who is always at the drugstore. She's buying makeup, she's buying clothes. Back then, the drugstore was where you went to buy everything, you know, in the 50s. So, but now, you know, you have people who would prefer to be at the mall shopping and maxing out their credit cards, but they can't take care of their kids at home, or they got all these bills piling up, but they rather just be looking fly and have, you know, not pay their bills. So it's like, you know, if I meet a girl that acts like that and lives life like that, that's not the type of girl that I'm trying to be with. So it's just recognizing who she is. And you a drugstore woman, baby, you know. I'm not trying to, you know, because she gonna give me the blues spending my money. You know, so I'm not, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Do you feel you love hard and you fall hard? What kind of women are you looking for? In terms of characteristics, well, in terms of personality.
Well, right now I'm just, you know, just the music is my woman right now.
I like that.
You know, it's just like Duke Ellington said, you know, The music is my mistress, you know. But for Muddy Wallace Jr., you know. But I mean, on top of all that, I mean, you know, I'm not even really worried about that. It's not an issue for Muddy Wallace Jr.
Yeah. Let's do Drugstore Woman, all right?
All right.
All right, take a listen. Neil Blake Online here on Rainbow. So, Muddy, it is a pleasure to have you here tonight. I got to tell you, it's really a breath of fresh air to hear the kind of tracks that you're putting out. We play a lot of your tracks, a lot of the slower tempo tracks on Music Massage, and the audience and the listeners are really, really are feeling your music. So we have to say to you, we do appreciate what you do.
I definitely appreciate what you're doing, because without you, my brother, it was just, I would just be playing it at home for myself. So,
What's it like being an independent artist? That's a great question for you at this point in time.
Well, it's hard work. It's definitely hard work. It's an everyday thing. It's something that's, you know, because you're doing everything pretty much by yourself. And that being said, like, I was very thankful to be able to work with Steve Wallace on this project, and he was helpful in producing and writing and helping to put it all together from the vision. And you know, and but you know, being an independent artist is it's something. I mean, but at the same time, you have no limitations as far as where you can go, like in your mind and your creativity or what you're trying to do. So it's like a double-edged sword, kind of like, you know, you have that freedom, but at the same time, you gotta make so many things happen on your own, you know.
Absolutely. And how's that going for you? Where do you see your career going, say, 5-10 years from now as an independent artist?
Well, you know, I'm really open to how things will be. I really like to continue doing what I'm doing, putting out some more projects. I really wanted to see how people will respond out there to this particular project. And from there, it kind of, I'll be able to sense how much people, more people will want, you know. But yeah, I just definitely want to get out there and, you know, continue playing some gigs around the globe and let people hear what I got here and enjoy this project. And maybe influence some other people to do something else, you know, be something else that's like broadening the minds of others in our community and so forth. That's kind of my main inspiration, is that somebody else could walk away and say, you know, man, that really inspired me to do something better, something greater, you know.
Yeah. And when you talk about community, what's it like for you, you know, being an African-American male, a black male here in America during 2011?
That's a great question. I talk to my producer, Steve Wallace, about that a lot. And, you know, he's actually been really blessed. He, like, he's got a great wife and everything, you know. But he recently had an album come out called Urban Soul, where he was talking about issues. He has a song called Still a Man. He's talking about, like, being a, you know, what is it to be a man nowadays? You know, like, if I bring flowers for a girl, or if I take her out, hold the doors for her, does that mean I'm less of a man? Like, and I've experienced some of those things as well. Like, I try to treat a woman right, and then she's like, why are you doing that? You know, I men don't do that now, you know. And I'm like, well, what's going on? This is kind of crazy, you know, because, you know, my father's from down south, you know. So I'm used to treating women a certain kind of way, but things have changed so much now. So I have to say that being a man nowadays, I mean, you definitely, you have the opportunity to really go through and find what you really are looking for. And it's difficult to find and sift through and find the, you know, cream of the crop, so to speak, you know, the best women that out there. But there's some good women out there, you know. It's just few and far between. And so many of them have been, you know, kind of led astray by this world's culture that we're living in and stuff like that. But there's some out there. You've got to, you know, fellas, if you're a good man and you can find one out there, I believe that's true. So I've seen my boy Steve Wallace. He got a good one. So
yeah, and you definitely have a good one coming too with that kind of music that you're putting out. I mean, it's some incredible music. Definitely, you know, a really talented brother. You talk about community. What are some things that you like to do, particularly for the African American community, with your music?
Yeah, just you know, one of the main things, like I said, like is really being able to let people see, first of all, that there's more out there than what they see on BET. You know, the media presentation of black people in general, black men specifically, is like you said earlier, very two dimensional, and I really don't appreciate that. You know. And that being said, like, as far as my specific involvement, how I'm gonna make a difference. I mean, every show I go to, I make sure people understand that Muddy Wallace Jr. is about the ancestry. You know, it's about the generations that came before. I mean, even like how people do the Ashes. You know, like I'm kind of doing something like that. I'll call out people's names to remember, like, we can't forget where we came from. We can't forget the people that died for us to be here. You know what I'm saying? We're not here on our own volition, you know. And then on top of that, it's just a sense of just education, understanding our foundation, You know, I wasn't even trying to rhyme right then, but it just happened. But,
something natural. But,
I guess so. As a lyricist, it just kind of comes together like that. But I mean, that was really important to me. You know, I spent time with some of the young brothers on the streets and stuff like that. Talked to them about, you know, hip hop, and talked to them about the music today. And I talked to them about some of their favorite artists and who their influences were and who their influences were of their influences. And go back, like, look deeper beyond what you just was right in front of your face. You know what I'm saying? So that's my big thing. It's like the history, remembering history, and also enlightening and expanding the minds of people to think beyond, you know, their present circumstances, where they at, what they just see every day, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's my whole thing. I mean, that's why, you know, I've been doing, you know, the Blake Radio Network for the last decade, because when I first started, the whole thing was, you know, I realized that we all contribute in different ways. You know, you contribute through the music. I contribute through what I do here, because it's important to me to present positive African-American images here in the U.S. as well as abroad, because people are listening all over the world. And it brings me so many good feelings to have brothers like yourself on, brothers and sisters like yourself, who are positive role models, you know, who are people who, you know, you're taking the time, number one. You know, as the sister said in the chat room earlier, you know, you're being unique. And it's hard to be unique in this day and time.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's difficult because you people are criticized, you know. People are judgmental, you know. Right. And I admired it. You said, hey, this is what I'm going to do. You know, this is my contribution, you know, to the world. And at this point now, we, you know, it gets overset a lot of times, but you have to say the planet now, because it's definitely a global thing. You know,
that's
one
right,
tweet, you're around the planet.
Yeah, you know, that's true.
It's just the way it goes.
Yeah,
How have you embraced social media, the tweeting and the Facebook and all that kind of stuff? How important do you feel, if you do feel it's important, in the success of your career and your future?
Yeah, I think it's been great for me. I mean, it's because as an independent artist, you don't have the funds or the access to certain media outlets and so forth. You have the Facebooks, the Twitters, that, you know, you have access to people on the other side of the globe, you know. Like when I put my album out on CD Baby, like, people were buying it in other countries that I'd never met, never specifically interacted with directly, but somehow through the internet, they heard about the project. So I use it all the time. My producer Steve Wallace uses it all the time on my behalf. So it's been a great thing, and yeah, it's good for me, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard. You know, I've spoken to artists who, you know, who started their careers in the late 70s, and it's a little difficult, you know, sometimes you know, to keep up with the times. You know, it's pretty difficult. But you seem
I don't know. I mean, don't want to cut you off, but I mean, just I think it's not, I don't think it's as important with keeping up with the times. I mean, that is kind of important, but it's really just keeping up with the people. So, like, if you can find where the people are, however you do that, like, I mean, I'm sure there'll be some point where there'll be a media or something that is beyond what Muddy Wallace Jr. could reach out to. But there's always a way that I know that I could reach out to fans somehow, whether it's I go to a mall and start playing in the middle of the mall, or go to a beauty supply store or something. There's people somewhere, and exposing them to the product is the important thing. However you do it.
Yeah. So far in your career, who have you gotten the best response from, or the most receptive response, here in the U.S. or abroad?
I really have to say it's been kind of equal.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been pretty much equal. I mean, it may be a little more in the U.S., which has been surprising a little bit. I thought I would get a little more response in Japan and UK, but there's been a little bit of response in the UK, mostly US, like, you know, people that I've specifically met that have heard my shows, that type of thing, and I was able to play the project for them. They've been really, really on the bandwagon for that. But there's a few people in the UK and a couple of people in Asia, and you know, but for the most part, it's been wherever I'm at the time is where people are, like, you know, checking for what I'm doing, which has been interesting.
Yeah, you know, I detect a beautiful glow in your voice, you know, which to me translates into spirituality. You know, how do you, you know, keep that spirit straight? You know, how do you keep your head right? You know, what kinds of things, you know, what kind of foods are you eating? Are you a vegetarian? Are you, you know, a meat eater? You know, you juicing? You drinking a lot of soda? Doing, you know, whatever it is. You know, tell the audience a little bit about how, you know, you're keeping your head together. Because you just have a beautiful spirit, a beautiful glow about yourself.
Well, I follow God. You know, God is my first and foremost, you know, foundation of my life. You know, I don't consider myself to do right all the time by God, but I do definitely follow God, and it's, you know, it's my foundation. You know, because I'm not perfect, I know God can be perfect for me. You know, so that's kind of the main thing for me as far as foods and stuff. I mean, I try to eat a balanced diet. I don't eat too much of that, too much of this, but, you know, it is, I definitely know how that's important because it affects your body and your well-being, you know. So I try to have enough fruits and vegetables every day. But, you know, other than that, you know, the thing is, it's just that gifts that God's given me, I want to use them. And the more I use them, the more I feel fulfilled. Like I'm following my path, and so that keeps me, going. Like, you know, I'm not getting a whole lot of money from it or anything, but it's something that, like, I feel like I'm progressing as an individual, as a human being, like even like evolving, kind of, you know. And I feel blessed that I could, you know, have the opportunity to like be on a radio show like yours and talk to people about what I do and make some more music and put it out, and maybe we talk to some other people about that too.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk about the, I think you've had two projects out right now, right? Two albums?
Yeah. It's two Muddy Wallace Jr. projects out.
Yeah, talk about start with the first one and then, you know, lead up to the one that you have out right now.
Okay. The first one came out the beginning of the year. It's called Ain't Nothing New But the Blues. That's new in you, but the blues. That was a project. It was a more of a promotional, like, everybody get ready. And, you know, I did a lot of shows where I would do blues covers, real, like, classic songs and records that people know, like the Hoochie Coochie Man and Mustang Sally and that type of thing. So I wanted to have something for the fans that wanted to hear that, but also give my new flavor to it. So I did this project where I used a lot of these songs, and I created like hip hop beats, hip hop style instrumentals with them, but still sang the original songs, you know, over those instrumentals. So it was a very good project. Came out really nice. It's available free online. It's on Bandcamp.com. Just search Muddy Wallace Jr. Bandcamp.com. You can download it for free there. Ain't Nothing New. I think there's nothing with the N and apostrophe. New in you but the blues. And the other thing that I did, just recently I released an album called Justified. And then it's parentheses, a Good Old Fella. And it's an album of all original material. All original songs. Nothing is, no samples, no covers. Is all original, but it's the blues, but it's like, just like you heard, these two songs you heard today are from that project, and it's more to it like that. I think it's about 14 tracks on the album, you know, written, produced by Steve Wallace, and lead vocals, me and Reddy, and got some other friends on there, Rudolph Vinas Colas on guitar and all that, so that's that one. I was just really trying to fuse now and what came before and just put it all together in a pot and just throw some new flavors on it and see what I come up with, trying to create something new. I still remember the old, you know.
And it's definitely a good project. We're quickly running out of time here. What I wanted to ask you is, how has your celebrity affected your relationships and your friendships? And you may or may not even consider yourself a celebrity, but you are. And I'm sure people have been reacting to you differently now since that, you know, your dream and what you do has become a reality. How have you seen a difference, positive or negative?
Well, I think that some parts of it is there's some people that may feel like that they don't have access to me anymore because, you know, no, he's busy now. He's doing this. He's doing that. He's working with this person. But that's, you know, that's not true at all. Like, I really would want to, or whatever. People may feel that way, that I'd love to speak to my friends and people that I've known before, and they can reach out to me at any time. And then the other things I don't know, you get a lot of people that come around you that want things from you, you know.
Yeah.
Whether it's like they want to get in the studio or they want you to help them write this or do that and want things for free and that type of stuff. So so it's just knowing, like, who you can trust around you and who is just somebody there that's trying to get by or get something that they want, you know.
Are you trusting of people at this point in your life?
Look, first of all, I trust God. Like I said, it's my first foundation. I trust God. I trust people to a degree, you know. Like, I trust the prize far as I throw them.
Yeah.
But I trust myself and my judgment. Just the fact that I don't necessarily trust people, or that I do trust people, is not going to stop me from giving of myself to people. So I'm not expecting anything in return. If I'm going to give you something, I'm just going to give it to you.
Yeah.
I don't need to trust you to give it back to me. But then I also trust my judgment and how God's guided me to, you know, because you can't cast your pearls before swine. That's in the Bible. So you can't just throw your good stuff away, you know. So I trust people enough. I look at who they are and what they present to me, and then based on that, I try to make as fair of a judgment as I possibly can, and let people show themselves to me over time, you know.
No, absolutely. What do you see for yourself in the future, short term and long term? We got about 7 minutes left here.
All right. Well, short term is with this project, continue to promote this project and allowing people to hear that and helping that to kind of broaden their minds. And if long term, I look to even reinventing myself again and maybe incorporating other styles of music. But the core element will always be there. I mean, the thing about the core purpose that I have in life is just really about, you know, opening up people's minds to new things and just keeping a pulse on bridging the gap between the past generations and today, and then move us all together towards the future.
Wow. Now, when you say reinvent yourself, do you have any insight as to what the reinvention would be, or are you just right now just going with the flow and you don't even know what that reinvention might be?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure what that may or may not be right now, but I talk with Steve Wallace a lot about different projects that he's working on, and just trying to, you know, just think of new things, new combinations of music, ways to you know, like I think of I was doing a lot of studying of Fela Kuti over the summer, and he created a whole genre of music.
Yeah.
You know, Afrobeat was his thing. He created it, you know. Like, how many people out there really thinking about creating a new genre of music, you know? So I'm more like trying to go in that direction. Like, how can I think of something that's new that nobody did, or new combinations that no one's tried before?
Wow. Did you see the play when it was on Broadway?
I have not seen the play yet. I've seen some segments of the play, like on TV, you know, that type of thing, but I did not get a chance to see that.
Yeah, great story. Let me ask you, are you afraid of what the future holds, or are you excited about what the future holds?
Oh, I'm definitely excited about the future.
Okay.
The future holds so many possibilities, and I I'm just like, well, what's next? Like, I'm just open arms to whatever it is, you know, and then I just kind of roll with the flow from there. But I'm not scared about that at all.
Let the folks know where they can reach you, mention your projects again, you know, list all your, you know, talk about your Facebook, your Twitter, everything. Let everybody know your email.
Definitely.
If you want to give that out. Let folks be able to get in contact with you.
Definitely. Well, first and foremost, I mean, I actually still have a MySpace page up, Muddy Waters Jr., MySpace.com/Muddy Waters Jr. Got a YouTube page up, YouTube.com/Muddy Waters Jr. And then I'm on CD Baby. I just got the new project out on CD Baby. So go to CDBaby.com/Muddy Waters Jr. The album's called Justify the Good Old Fella. Also, the promotional project Ain't Nothing New But the Blues is available on Bandcamp.com. So go to Bandcamp.com and check that out. And if you just want to hit me with an email and just say, what's up, Muddy? You can hit me up MuddyWallaceJr@gmail.com. And I'll be happy to respond to you and maybe have a chat and just talk about the future.
Absolutely. We're going to end the show with Saving All Her Love, which I really love that song. Talk to the audience a little bit about that track.
Well, Saving All Her Love was something that came when, you know, I was just hoping that this one young lady that I was seeing was, you know, she went away for a while, and I was hoping she was saving her love for me. So when she came back, we, you know, everything worked out good. But I added some more to that, and that kind of had the sense of traveling in the song, like it's like you're sitting on a boxcar on a train, and it just had that feeling to it, like you're traveling to go see somebody you love. So that's what the feeling for that is.
Absolutely. We're gonna play that in the track. Muddy, it's been a pleasure having you here tonight. Man, I really appreciate you stopping by and checking in with us.
Definitely. Neil Blake, thank you very, very much for everything you've done for me and all the music you're playing. I want to shout out to Kevin Harewood at Eclectic Entertainment, Steve Wallace, stevewallacemusic.com, George Little John with Purpose Records. These are all guys who have supported me so much over the years. Mike Wallace, Steve Wallace, Rudolph Anas Kolas, and Reddy, all of y'all. Thank you very much. Sean Whitley, peace to all y'all. Thank you, Neil Blake. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Muddy. And I often end the show with a quote from Gordon Parks. It says, the guy who takes a chance, who walks the line between the known and unknown, who is unafraid of failure, will succeed. And Muddy Wallace Jr. is definitely a brother who you're going to be hearing from in the very near future. Muddy Wallace Jr., Saving All Her Love. Peace and love to everyone. See you next time.
I know my baby love me.
listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Check out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best, featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com. Talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
My name is Susan L. Taylor, Editor-in-Chief Emeritus of Essence Magazine. My sadness and depression grew out of giving myself to my career before I would give myself to myself. And then I am out there speaking in front of thousands of people with a smile pasted on my face but dying on the inside. Hiding sadness makes you more and more sad because it closes you off. Giving voice to what you're feeling is part of the healing. We're dying, and the most revolutionary and healing thing that Black people can do right now is to love one another.
This is Terry Williams, co-founder of the Stay Strong Foundation. Mental illness is devastating our community, and it's up to us to stop it. It's time for us to wake up, stand up, and speak up. And what I know is, together, we can do this. Search online for stories that heal. We must share ourselves. Healing starts with us. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and the Stay Strong Foundation.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.